So I don't know about you, but I'm actually quite fascinated by what's happened as a result of the elections in Israel. It's very interesting, isn't it? It might be that there's a glimmer of hope for something different happening in Israel right now. I'm almost incredulous and almost afraid to say that because there's been so much bad news coming out of Israel for so long that the idea that there could be a different way of doing things or looking at things, that that's a possibility, I can hardly believe it. But, you know, this week we had this wonderful program where we had Ambassador Dennis Ross and David Milkovsky being interviewed by our own, also another one of our own, Tom Friedman. And they said this very thing. Dennis talked about how perhaps the very nature of Israel's policies of the Israeli government in many ways has set the stage for a rise in more moderate voices on the political scene in Israel. And then Dennis said something very interesting, which I agree with and I've taught as well, that Israel so often, and I've taught this, that it's been this way for thousands of years, Israel is like the canary in the coal mine. What happens in Israel, often the rest of the world follows suit. Very interesting. So is it possible that even though the world has seen this kind of wave of kind of authoritarian xenophobia, that perhaps now what's happening in Israel, the elections can bode possibly as a canary in the coal mine for a rise in more moderate voices here in our upcoming election in America? Maybe. Who knows? It's possible. But that's what I want to talk about today. The possibility of a glimmer of hope. Judaism has been teaching this message for thousands of years. Ein yeush ba'olam klal, said Rabbi Nachman. There is no such thing as despair. So that's true. And that's what I want us to explore. Case in point, we just read Parshat Ki Tavo, which lists blessings, but it also lists curses that will befall us if we're not true to the covenant. Horrible, terrible, dark things, that God will send plagues upon us, that God will send all kinds of destructions upon us, and disease, and exile, and all manner of persecutions. It reads like a litany of suffering. And you know what the worst thing about that list of curses that appears in this week's Parsha is? Over the 3,000 years of Jewish history, those curses, by and large, have all come true. But you know what? By virtue of the fact that we Jewish people have come through so many centuries of those kinds of curses, and we live to tell the tale, we have a great deal of wisdom to share as a result. And that's what I want to talk about today. The Parsha begins with very disturbing words. It says, V'haya im lo tishma bekol Adonai. It shall be that if you do not listen to the voice to the voice of God, uva'u alecha kol habrachot, kol haklalot, says brachot too, that all of these curses will come upon you. Now, according to rabbinic tradition, there's something strange about that wording, and I've taught this before. The opening word, v'haya, which means, and it shall be. According to the rabbis, whenever you see in the Torah the word v'haya, it means what comes afterward is going to be a good thing. That's strange. And it shall be that you will have these curses upon you. That's ridiculous. You're supposed to read that as, you're going to have these curses come for you and it's going to be great. That doesn't make any sense at all. So what's going on? I'm going to tell you a story about a famous Hasidic rabbi. His name is Rabbi Schneur Zalman of Liadi. And in his community, he was the Bal Koreh, which means he was the Torah reader. He read from the Torah every week. And one weekend, he needed to be away. He wasn't home. And it happened to be Parshat Ki Tavo, this week's Parsha, the Parsha that has the blessings and the curses. So they got a sub. A substitute Torah reader came in and read in his place. And when he got to the list of curses, Schneur Zalman's son, Dov Ber, heard them and freaked out and passed out right there in Shul because he heard these curses. And they had trouble. He was just a kid, by the way. They had trouble waking this poor kid up, and he passed out, and he was so sick that they weren't sure if he would be able to fast for the upcoming Yom Kippur, and they didn't know what was going on. And they said, "What's the matter, Dove Bear? You've heard your father read these curses every year. Why did you pass out this year?" And Dove Bear said, "Well, when my father reads those curses, they're not curses." Strange story, isn't it? I mean, it certainly is curses, terrible things. So what's going on? Well, one thing we know about his father, Shneur Zalman of Liadi, is he was a great Kabbalist, which means he understood deep, esoteric insights of the Torah. And according to our tradition, in the Kabbalah, in Jewish mysticism, those curses have a secret that they hide. There's a hidden meaning in those curses. And don't tell anyone, but hidden inside those curses themselves are blessings. Right? Now that's a very strange idea. But Nachal Kedumim, another commentary, comes and tries to explain the Kabbalah. Now listen to this one. He says, okay, so it says in the curses that your oxen are going to be killed before you and you will not be able to enjoy of its meat. And your donkeys will be robbed from before you. And your flocks will be taken from you and no one will be there to help you. Yes, it says that, but the Nachal Kedumim says, if you really want to understand what it means, read it backwards. Therefore, what happens when you read it backwards? Well, there will be someone to help you and your flocks will not be taken from you. Your donkey will not be robbed from you. And your ox won't be killed in front of you and you'll be able to enjoy that nice, delicious ox meat. Okay, what is the shtuyot? You know, the shtuyot means the stupid. That sounds ridiculous. Of course, if you take something bad and you read the theme backward, it's going to sound good. Why are they going to lengths to see in these curses blessings? It doesn't make any sense. But there it is, right in the Torah. It has that word vihaya, which means you're supposed to see something good in those blessings. So I'm going to share with you one more story. This is from the Talmud. It's a story about Rabbi Akiva, very famous story. Rabbi Akiva was traveling alone, and he came to a small city, and he asked to be put up in that evening for lodgings. But the people in the city said to him, "Sorry, we're all full. You can't sleep here tonight," and they kicked him out. And in response, what did Rabbi Akiva do? He looked heavenward, and he says, "Everything that God does, it must be for the best." So he leaves the city, and he goes into a field, into a dark field in the middle of the night, and all he has with him is one candle, his rooster, and his donkey. So the night comes, it's a dark night, there's no moon, and he lights his candle, but then a wind comes and blows out the candle. It's dark, pitch black. Akiva, what does he say? "Whatever God does, it must be for the best." So then a cat comes and eats his rooster. "Whatever God does, it must be for the best." And then the next thing that happens is a lion comes and eats his donkey. I swear, this is the story. And what does Akiva say? "Whatever God does for the best." Well, wouldn't you know it, what happened after that is an army marched through that night, right by Rabbi Akiva in the field, and they lay siege to that town, and they trapped everyone inside. And then Rabbi Akiva later explained, "That's what I meant. Whatever God does for the best. You see, if they hadn't kicked me out, I would have been trapped in the city. And if I didn't lose the candle and the rooster didn't make any noise and the donkey didn't make any noise, that's why I was saved. Because if they saw me or if they heard those noises, they would have found me and I would have become their prisoner or they would have killed me. Whatever God does for the best." Nice story, huh? A little bit of a flawed story, don't you think? Right? It's very kind of Pollyanna. You can't do that really in real life so simplistically, can you? If, God forbid, you experienced some kind of tragedy or loss in your life, God forbid, and you came to me and looked for counsel and for comfort, imagine if I looked at you and I said, "Oh, that's okay, it's all for the good. Whatever God does, it does for the best. You should fire me if I do that." No. So what's going on here? The rabbis are not this facile. Our tradition is not this simplistic. when they tell stories like these, what are they doing? They're trying to show us actually a very profound lesson. And I'm going to try to capture that lesson now. That when calamity happens, or when dark times befall us, when things seem hopeless, we have a choice of how we're going to frame our experience of those things. We can choose to see nothing but the darkness and calamity, or we can do the Jewish thing. The Jewish thing is always to see the possibility of renewal, even in the darkest times. And you might have to go to Meshuggah lengths to do that. You may have to read things backwards. You may have to turn things upside down and shake them and sideways. You may have to do crazy things like that, but never give up on that. You see, that's why there is a message that comes out of the Jewish tradition, and I teach it very sparingly and very carefully because it is so easily twisted around and misunderstood. But here's the teaching. In every experience of curse, there is blessing. Now, don't worry, I'm not saying that, God forbid, the Shoah was good, God forbid, or terrorism is good. I am not saying that we need to go into denial when bad things happen. I'm not saying that we shouldn't acknowledge the suffering that is happening for all the bad things that people do in the world. I'm not saying we shouldn't cry and grieve when bad things happen to us. Not at all. Of course, we should do all of those things, and we should fight against all injustice. But what our tradition is saying is, in life, as we go through the path of life, we are always confronted with the opportunity to make a choice. We can choose to wallow in the darkness, or we can find that pathway to hope and to blessing, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how much everything we may have expected about our lives falls away from us. We have 3,000 years of Jewish tradition and wisdom that shows us that indeed, even in all curses, there is the possibility to find blessing. You just have to know how to look for it. So let's adopt this, and let's really notice when glimmers of light come back again, when possibilities which we thought were impossible can come back, because they can. It all begins with each of us in resolving to find that possibility for the good, living our lives from there, and then teaching the world that blessing is always possible. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. We continue now with the Chatzikdash before the service of Musaf, page 100.